Hello and welcome to the program. We continue today in our series on what in the world is going on. Have your Bible ready. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 14, we have the signs that Jesus gave indicating the end of the age and the beginning of the tribulation period. From verses 15 through 28, we have a much more detailed description of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, known as the Great Tribulation. We read in Matthew 15, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." Then it goes on to say what they need to do about that. Now he's referring back to Daniel chapter 9, 27, when he shall confirm the covenant, that is, God shall confirm the covenant with many, for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of the abominations he shall make it desolate. Now, he's talking about the fact that the Antichrist will present himself midway through the tribulation period. So as we come on the glide path to the tribulation period, we would do well to ask ourselves, what's next? What is next on God's program? We're going to look at that in a minute, but before we do, listen to this message in song. It's real. It's never been more real than it is right now. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come.
Some glorious morning, sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning, all all shall be bright. Goodbye forever to earth's dark night. Changed in a moment, like him to be. Oh, glorious daybreak, Jesus I'll see.
Have you thought lately how it's really going to be when we see our loved ones again? Oh, what a precious thought. No more tears, no more saying goodbye, and really, no more memories, because then all will be sight.
Tears nor crying shall dim our eyes.
If you have your Bible, turn in it to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. We're talking about what is next on God's program of prophecy. And he said here to these Thessalonians, they had obviously lost some loved ones who had passed away. And he said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." And so he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about how things are going to work out here. And to be ignorant is to have a lack of knowledge or information. And so we have knowledge and information on how things are going to end at this church age. He said, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And notice verse 18, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And if you've had a friend, a family member, a loved one that has passed away and they are Christians, then it's not that we don't sorrow. He said, don't sorrow even as others that have no hope. But it's not wrong to sorrow. Something wrong if we don't. But he says here, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I like that. He's not going to send an angel. He could do that. No, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, there's a lot of arguing goes on about when we will be raptured out of this world. Some say it's before the tribulation. Some say it's at the end of the tribulation. Someone else will come up and say it's in the middle of the tribulation. Well, let me tell you, I have put hundreds of hours of study into this and trying to figure out when it will happen. Another thing they argue about is the last trumpet. What is this last trump? What does it all mean? Once again, here's the conclusion of all the study. We can get all bent out of shape trying to prove we're right of when exactly it's going to happen. I believe it's pre-tribulational, but if we're going to get all bent out of shape about that, or how fast is the twinkling of an eye, or what's that trumpet, and miss the fact that it will happen. He said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Are you concerned about that? He's not going to ask you if you had it figured out what that trumpet was. He's not going to ask you if you figured out how fast the twinkling of an eye was. He is not going to do that. We will give an account of how we've lived or how we have not lived this life since we've been Christians. But he says here, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Some years ago, my mother passed away. And I had a lot of people say to me, "We're sorry you lost your mom." Well, at the funeral, I thanked them for saying that. I said, however, we haven't lost her. I know exactly where she is, and she's not in that box. That's just her body. That's the shell that she lived in when she was here. And she will live, and I will live, and you will live, and every person in this entire world will live somewhere for eternity. And it depends entirely on whether you believe Jesus Christ or whether you don't. In 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so how does he sum this up? Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Once again, he's not going to ask you, did you figure out the twinkling of an eye? He's not going to ask you, did you figure out what, just where and when this happens? Have you figured out exact square footage when the Battle of Armageddon takes place? He's not going to ask you that. These are important things. We should study them. But the whole idea that we argue about them is we want to prove we're right. And it's a process of pride that takes us down that road. So, therefore, let me repeat it. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now that work and that labor takes on all kinds of different things. One of the hardest things to do is to just determine I'm going to get into the Word of God every day. It has been my principle for many years. I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I study the Bible until 8. That doesn't mean, in fact, the more I study it, the more I know I don't know very much about it. But I know a whole lot more about it than somebody who had a 35-minute class in some professor's college in some Bible institute and then thinks he knows it all. No, you need to study the Word of God for yourself. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, when we get into our next program, we're going to look into the book of Revelation, chapter 4, verse 1. It says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things that shall be hereafter.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one, he is the just one, he hath the words of life. I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. Heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is a living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.